Talking down on us, we live it up.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Have you watered or fertilized today?
Never.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm always thinking of different messages to give to the team. We all water. We all fertilize.
Have you watered or fertilized today?
Never say never, but never.
Earlier on the show, Fox Sports college football analyst Joel Klatt. Coming up, Pro Football Hall of Famer Jerry Rice. Actor and comedian Jeff Garland, plus co-host of Peacock's Brother from Another, Michael Smith. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I've got my guys, Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo, in their spot. I got TJ Jefferson in his spot. I've got you wherever you are taking this show on NBC Sports on Peacock or Sirius XM Channel 211 or this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio program, this radio station smart enough to have this radio and television simulcast. We're on Odyssey streaming coast to coast. You can check us out in our podcast every day on Cumulus Podcast Network. Also, our YouTube stream, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, over 312,000 subscribers and growing. One of the many projects that I've enjoyed doing this fall is voicing, narrating the NFL films and epics produced series NFL Icons. It's a dynamite documentary, soup to nuts, on the subject at hand and the subject of this weekend's Saturday night at 10 Eastern time NFL Icon show on Epics is joining me here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. The GOAT from Pro Football Hall of Fame, San Francisco 49ers and more, Jerry Rice, back on the show. How are you, Jerry?
Rich, I'm good. Have you watered? Have you fertilized?
You know, this is an excellent question, Jerry. Normally, I don't flip it back on the person who asked me the question, but have you watered? Have you fertilized today?
Yes, I have, and I'm raring to go right now because I'm on your show.
Of course. You're Jerry Rice. You water and fertilize every day. I mean, that's the way it works. What's the best speech you heard Bill Walsh give you? What was the best one where the whole team's together and Bill just either did – he just rallied the troops, or what was? You got a good one for me on that
one?
It
was the one from the Gladiator, Russell Crowe,
huh,
that movie. So he just came in, he put the film on, all the coaches just walked out of the room, and we watched this clip saying, "If you, whatever comes into this arena, if we work together, we have a chance of surviving. We have a chance of winning." And after watching that clip, Rich, you had guys ready to run through the wall. We were ready to play. And I think we went out and we won that Super Bowl.
So that movie is the one that actually got you up and running, huh?
Oh, my God. My heart was racing like crazy. And, man, because as a cohesive group of guys, you have to work together as one heartbeat, brick to brick. You can't be a weak link in that chain. If you're a weak link in that chain, we're not going to have success on the football field. So, you know, the majority of the guys, they prided themselves on how they practiced during the week, not being a weak link in that chain. And I think that's the reason why we were, had that dynasty for so long.
So when was the first time, Jerry, that you met Montana? You got a good recollection? You're just drafted. You're coming out of, obviously, small school, HBCU, and you're drafted by the 49ers, and there's Montana. What was
Redwood City. I'll never forget it, Rich. I'm sitting across, and I'm looking at Joe Montana, Dwight Clark, Ronnie Lott, all of these – you know, Hall of Famers. And I'm saying to myself, oh, my God, you know, I'm around legends right now. And I'm just this small guy from Mississippi, HBCU, trying to find myself. So, you know, it was like deer in the headlights because I was looking at greatness. And they had just won the Super Bowl. I think it was at Stanford Stadium, mm-hmm, against the Miami Dolphins. And I got drafted right after that. So just being around those guys and to watch those guys, how they conduct themselves, how to be a professional on and off the football field, you know, it's just something that I try to follow.
So did you have to was there a moment where you felt you had to prove yourself, or did they know who you were? Did they see your college tape at all, or they just had to trust the process that, okay, they know who this kid from Mississippi yeah. is? I mean, what was that like, Jerry?
Hey, Rich, I think they had to trust the process because we didn't have that much. They didn't have that much film.
I bet.
But you know, they trusted Bill Walsh, and Bill gave me the opportunity to live a dream, man. Because you know, to play professional football and also get paid for it, and I never looked at it like it was a job. It was something that I just loved doing because you get the opportunity to showcase your ability in front of 60,000 people or more, going up against some of the best competition ever. And, you know, I just wanted to just prove to everyone that coming out of Mississippi Valley State University, it's like almost like finding that diamond in the rough. And I just wanted to live up to that expectation where they could, you know, if I had success on the football field, then they can go back in there and look at other players and hopefully give them the same opportunity.
Well, what, Jerry Rice here on the Rich Eisen Show, your work ethic is the stuff of legend, right? I mean, we know about many parts of your work ethic, from running hills and then obviously routes. And where did that come from? Why, essentially? Two questions all rolled into one.
Rich, I think it came from my parents, because my father was a bricklayer, and my father would take me to work with him during the summer. And it was very demanding work, man. We would get started about 7 o'clock, and the temperature would be like maybe about 115 degrees outside. Mm. And I had a job to do, and I used to be up on this scaffold that was about 20 feet in the air. And I remember my brother throwing bricks up to me. The bricks would separate in the air. I would snatch them out of the air. And, you know, it just taught me about hard work and dedication. But, you know, he was like the provider of the family. And I just knew that I wanted to do something special in life. I wanted to, if I could, you know, play professional football, build my parents a house in Starkville, Mississippi. That was the first thing. The second I signed my contract, I wanted to build my parents a new home, and I was able to do that. But, you know, I think the hard work just came from my parents, and it was just dedication.
Was there ever a moment where you did just say, you know what, I'm tired. I don't need to. I can just rest on my laurels. I'm already done this, been done that. I mean, did that never creeped in your mind? Never, not even once.
Never. Never got complacent. Stayed hungry. My teammates would tell me every day, like, why are you working so hard? I just felt like every time I stepped onto that football field, I had to prove myself. I had to earn it. You know, if I was going into year 8, I still felt I had to go to training camp, and I had to show everybody that I deserved to be that starter on that given Sunday, Monday, those playoff games or those Super Bowls. So I never got complacent.
Jerry Rice here on the Rich Eisen Show. NFL icons, Jerry Rice's story on Epics Saturday night at 10 Eastern Time, NFL Films. And your story. What would you say your story is, Jerry? What is your story?
I think my story is that just hard work, the appreciation, fans inspiring me to go out and play my best football, the fear of failure that just continued to push me. Never felt like I was one of the greatest of all time. And just continue to work hard. So when people think about me, they think about my legacy of work ethic.
Yep.
That's it.
That is a fact. What do you make, Jerry Rice here on the Rich Eisen Show? What do you make of the current 49ers team, Jerry? What are your two cents on that one?
I think they're still searching for an identity. They're 2-4 right now. And somewhere the players got to take over the team. And that was something Bill Walsh always did. He would let the players take over the team. You know, how you practice, you know, if things are not going right during a ball game or something like that, having those veterans to step up, pull the team together, rally, you know, say what you have to say and say, hey, look, we got to go out there on that football field. We got to win this football game. So I think they're still searching right now. I'm hoping that they really get hot in November. And when you 2-4, what I don't want to see is players quitting. No matter what, you know, because you paid to do a job. You have to take pride in it. Even if the season is not going the way you want it to go, you still have to go out there and you have to continue to want to get better. So I don't want to see that aspect of the game, but, you know, hopefully they can get really hot in November and somehow get into the playoffs.
What do you mean by Walsh would let the players take over? What do you mean by that?
Well, the coaches, they can put together a game plan.
Right.
But the players, they got to have, you know, that work ethic. They got to set the standard. And if a veteran is seeing, like, a younger guy not doing what he's supposed to do, pull that young guy aside, have a conversation with him, let him know that, hey, we have a certain standard here, and right now you're not living up to that standard. So that's really what Bill wanted, you know, the players to pretty much do.
So maybe there's not enough of those guys on this current roster. I mean, because Kyle Shanahan, he's smart enough to know, you know, what is up or what needs to be retooled,
right,
or fixed. So, like, what counsel would you give him on that front of something that you saw that Walsh was able to fine tune, Jerry?
Well, I think with Kyle Shanahan, he got to decide if we're going to be a running team or if we're going to be a passing team. And you got to stick with it. And, you know, I understand that, you know, George Kittle is hurt right now and Jimmy G is not playing his best football. But put those players in a position to be successful on the football field. Now those players got to they got to go out there and do the job. They got to be accountable, and they got to get it done. But, you know, decide on one. Because Bill was always that type of coach. He felt like if we ran the football, it opened up the pass. Mm-hmm. If we threw the ball, that opened up the run. So you got to, you know, pick one or the other. And I understand Mostert went down, but I still believe they have running backs that can step in, because it's always about, Rich, next man up.
Jerry, do you have any
injuries in football?
Do you have any 2 cents on what might be up with Ayuk? I mean, kid was, you know, taken off last year, and right now he's just he's gone. I mean, his production is virtually non-existent.
Yeah,
Jerry.
You know, I think we all go through different scenarios and stuff like that, and you got to be able to fight through it. And you got to have veterans around you that can pull you aside and have that conversation with you.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's it right now. I feel like he's very talented, but it's all about the design and, you know, maybe get this guy more opportunities. I don't know, but right now, you know, I would say with the San Francisco 49ers,
yes, sir,
their backs are against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see how they're going to come out. And like I stated earlier, I don't want to see no quit in this team. I still want to see the effort and this team trying to go out there and win football games. And if they can get hot in November, you know, then we'll see what happens.
All right, then last one for you on the current state then, Jerry. I mean, I don't think this is even in the same area code of it, but I'll bring it up anyway. I mean, you were there, had a front row seat from, you know, when Steve Young showed up and Montana was there, and obviously Jimmy G doesn't have the resume of Montana, and Trey Lance is a kid who's, you know, hardly done anything in this league. Well, you know, Young came from the USFL. I get it. Do you think there's anything up with the quarterback position and the fact that it was Jimmy G to start and now Lance is there, or anything that could be kind of getting this team off a kilter because there's two quarterbacks sitting right there with the elephant in the room with the kid who just got drafted at all?
Well, sure. You know, Rich, I've never been one of those guys that felt like you could you know, have two quarterbacks. I always wanted to know exactly who was on the center. and whatever I had to do, try to to make that mm-hmm. person on the center great on the football field. So you need those reps, you need that chemistry and all of those things, you know. And I think with Kyle Shanahan, you know, he was saying Jimmy G was going to play, then Trey Lance was going to play, and I don't like that mixture. But you know, Kyle Shanahan is the coach of the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. He makes all of those decisions. But I was one of those guys that always felt like I needed to know who was going to be that guy. And then I was going to taper my game around him where he was going to be successful on the football field.
How's Goat Fuel? How's everything going on in your businesses?
Hey, man, the greatest of all time, man. It's doing well. You know, I'm excited. We got a lot of goats out there, and, mm-hmm. You know, I'm very fortunate to have my daughter as my CEO. And we are scaling, and we're building. We're having a great time. But the greatest of all time is not just for athletes. It could be a frontline worker. Hey, Rich, mm-hmm. you know you. You're a goat, right?
Well, you've seen it firsthand, Jerry. You've seen it firsthand, the it being speed. You've seen it. You've seen it firsthand twice now, Jerry.
That's why you're the greatest of all time.
Jerry, your largesse and your philanthropy and your help with my run last 2 years is really taking it to new heights, and I can't thank you enough for that, man. And anytime you're there, it just sends a complete jolt through anybody that's part of the fundraising effort. So you are the man. I just wanted to say that out loud one more time. Really.
Hey, Rich, truly. I'm always going to be there for you, man. And,
it means
and I
a lot.
Think it's fantastic work that you're doing for St. Jude. Okay.
Thank you. Right back at you.
All right, buddy.
Jerry, you take care. Appreciate the call. You be well.
All right.
That's care. Jerry Rice. Check out NFL Icons with Jerry Rice's story. Great story. One that's been told many times, but not like this, through NFL Films and Epics, 10 Eastern Time on Saturday night. Anything take away from that, Christopher, right there? What's your takeaway from that? That he doesn't know, like he keeps saying he doesn't want to see any quit in the team, right? I don't think I've seen any of that just from them. It's just, you know.
They need to figure out what's going on at quarterback. I mean, just plain and simple in regards to the 49ers.
You know how I feel about it. I truly do feel that if Lance is healthy, he's going and he's going to, they didn't want to go through the growing pains with him. They just didn't. They didn't.
Yeah, I think
but
it just
goes
back. But
if Jimmy G is hurt, banged up, ineffective, they've got to make that move.
Yeah, it just goes back, I think, to like the offseason and through the preseason that Kyle Shanahan either hoped or expected that Lance would just take control and kind of stranglehold this starting job, and he just didn't. So now you're stuck in a situation where you have to start Jimmy Garoppolo, and then any sign of wavering, faltering, indecision, bad play, boom, he's out. But then they didn't expect Lance getting injured. Now you got to go back to him. It's just they kind of created this scenario themselves by not trading Jimmy in the offseason.
Well, here's the way just to, you know, lay it all out. Now that we're 7 weeks in, this is week 8 beginning tonight. Mm. 5 first-round drafted quarterbacks where 3 teams just threw the kid right in.
Yep.
Cleared the decks. Threw the kid right in. Jaguars and Jets had the decks already clear, right?
Right.
Patriots cleared the deck, told Cam, thank you. We've got it from here.
Yep.
And the Jaguars and the Jets, coming off of such a dreadful 2020 season, knew that these guys are just going to go through their lumps and that's it, and we're going to take it, mm-hmm. and we're going to hopefully win more games than people expect.
Right.
The Patriots went on a spending spree, weren't nearly as bad as obviously Jacksonville or the Jets were last year, and surrounded their rookie with not just as many weapons as they possibly could through free agency. And we don't talk about the Patriots' weapons because they're not on many fantasy teams. But what their biggest weapon is that playbook and that coaching staff. Mm-hmm. And they got him ready. Boy, did they get him ready. And that's been the most successful out of any of the rookie quarterback situations yet. Right, so let's put a check mark against that. That's a way to just throw the kid in, but you can also evaluate him because you have the weapons and also the playbook and the coaching staff that has done it and knows how to do it and how to coach it. And luckily, Mac Jones is one of those prospects who soaks that in and processes it and can execute it. Boy, can he execute it. Then you've got the Bears and the Niners. And the Bears, what they did was like, we're going to let our guy sit and marinate for as long as possible because I, Matt Nagy, have seen that happen in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes. So we're going to let Justin Fields sit as much as possible and maybe sprinkle him in here and there, maybe. And then they did in week one, right? In Los Angeles. As a matter of fact, Justin Fields scored a touchdown in week
one. Yeah, to start the game.
Okay. But they weren't going to sprinkle him in nearly as much as we expected the 49ers to do with their guy.
Who also had a touchdown
in week one. As a matter of fact, the first touchdown pass of the season for the 49ers was thrown by Trey Lance in Detroit. Mm-hmm. But the difference between those two things was the Bears were like, we're gonna just sit our guy and let him marinate because we've got Andy Dalton. And that was very difficult to sell to a fan base that had not seen somebody like Fields drafted and put into place as the guy in Chicago. They have not seen a first round drafted QB thrown in there like that other than Trubisky. But Fields came in with a lot more hullabaloo than Mitchell.
Well, he had some preseason moments, too, where you're like, okay, let's go.
So that was that situation, and it has worked out since they turned to Fields as we knew they would have to. It's worked out in that he's won some games, but boy, has he been beaten up, taking his lumps for this team.
Yeah.
Now you've got – so I'll put them in the second position right now of quarterbacks that have done – well, so far in the quarterback situations worked out. Would you put Jacksonville too?
Would you put Jacksonville too? I would put Trevor too, yeah.
Well, I'm not talking about in terms of talent and upside. I'm talking about through 7 weeks of a season. They've won more games with Justin Fields than they have in Jacksonville.
But because of Justin Fields?
I'm not saying because of him. Okay. I'm saying you're still putting wins in a ledger.
Okay, that's fine.
And you're trying to win a season and a playoff spot.
Well, the Bears
again.
You're right.
Okay.
The Bears are a playoff team right now.
And so
then
there's the 49ers who tried to do both from jump. We're going to mix them in, but we've got our veteran because he took us to the Super Bowl 2 years ago and the locker room loves him and we could carry him in with a cap. We're going to do both. And the issue with that is Jimmy G just cannot stay completely healthy for a season full. I mean, we did see the year of the Super Bowl. He was able to, but
that's been it.
This, other than that, he just hasn't, even when he had a shot, you know, when Brady was hurt, right?
No, Brady was suspended.
I mean, Brady was suspended, right?
He got hurt.
He got hurt in that, and Jacoby Brissett had they had to turn to him there.
Yeah. He's played one full season.
So, Lance is a guy who might have been the most green out of everybody. He didn't even play football last year.
Yeah, one game.
So, now they're caught in between where Garoppolo gets hurt, and then he returns and he's ineffective, and Lance isn't ready because he's hurt, and then maybe he's just not ready, period. And that just hasn't worked out. They're 2-4. You are what you are. You're 2-4. And this is a team that thought they could challenge this year and let their guy marinate and sprinkle him in. And they're 2-4. And they literally have zero quarterbacks, it feels like, because Garoppolo's hurt. Now Lance is hurt, and Garoppolo returns. He's ineffective. And the one time that Lance played, he got hurt, and he wasn't nearly as effective as you need to be. You lose on the road to a division opponent, and now you're wondering, in my estimation, should they just go ahead, rip the Band-Aid off, and join the same boat as the Jets and the Jaguars? And I know that's tough to be included in the same sentence as that, but you take your lumps with this kid. you take your lumps, and you do have the weapons like the Patriots have to support him. Kittle, if he's healthy, and Debo, and Ayuk, for whatever the hell reason, is gone.
Well, that was going to be my point, too, is like their plan kind of fell apart when they had all the running back injuries, and then Kittle goes down, and then Ayuk is kind of underperforming to the level that they expected. And so when you don't have those pieces around a rookie quarterback, it really exposes, you know, his limitations.
I mean, this is the snapshot as we enter week 8 tonight of the rookie quarterback situation. So I would go with clear number one is New England. My God, is that number one?
Yeah, he's
been okay.
Great.
And then number two, I'll go with Chicago because they're getting Fields those lumps. I'm telling you, Chicago, it's going to be worth it.
Yeah, they're three. They have three wins. They're in the playoff mix,
right?
It,
so. Three is Jacksonville.
I think so.
Four is San Francisco. They have two wins.
Yeah, but not because of him.
I don't know. It's just tough to put the Jets above San Francisco here because, I mean, the kid won one game. He's hurt now. He was he had no weapons really around him. They lost their left tackle. So I guess they're tied. Let's do that. I'll give Jets half a win.
But I guess if you look at the film, like, Zach Wilson is playing better than Lance.
Yeah,
I
guess so. Because the problem for San Francisco is they need Lance now. They need him.
Yeah.
And he's not ready, and he's not maybe seasoned enough. Let's take a break. We'll come back. The man who had and then relinquished Tom Brady's 600th touchdown football. Byron Kennedy, this will be fun when we come back.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian, and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. This man saw our conversation about his largesse in returning a very important football that really didn't belong to him until it was handed to him by Mike Evans. Mike Evans catches touchdown number 600 of Tom Brady's career, making Tom the only member of such a club in the great sport of professional football. And he had it and gave it back. I said, good for you.
Yes, you did.
You both, Brockman and TJ, said, what's the matter?
Hey, pump your brakes.
The thing's worth $500,000. Why didn't I hold out for more?
Held out for
cash. Well, he responded to that. He thanked me for supporting him.
Yeah, you were on his side.
Yes, appreciate the defense. The defense on your show, we're on the same page. I'm sure you've heard that Tom, Mike, and the Bucks are taking care of me, too. I immediately then, I guess technically, slid into his DMs, right? I DM'd him and said, how'd you like to come on the show? And he said, sure. And here he is, the man who had Tom Brady's 600th touchdown pass football placed in his hands by Mike Evans, and then he gave it back, obviously for some items and money that he received, a Bitcoin. Byron Kennedy, Tampa Bay Buccaneer fan here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Byron?
I'm doing great, Rich. How are you?
I am better for talking to you, sir. I've got a lot of questions for you. All right. First of all, good for you. All right? That's not a question. That's a declarative. Good for you.
Thank you.
Have you been receiving a lot of grief for giving this football back for what you received, Byron?
Not directly. It's more comments that I'm reading on different posts from like the NFL and just everyone else who's covering this. No one's actually reaching out to me and giving me grief.
Okay.
All the people reaching out to me are saying you did the right thing.
Okay. So let's walk through here. Whose seats were you in? Are those your seats?
They are not. Those were my buddy Riley's seats. He has season tickets there. And
okay.
I was invited to this game with him, and I'm glad I came.
So you are Riley's plus one.
Wow.
In these seats, and walk me through what happened. You're just sitting there cheering, and Mike Evans decides to give you a ball because you were wearing 13? Is that what happened?
Exactly. The Bucs had a great drive. They went pretty much all the way down the field.
Yep. Right towards you.
Then, yep, straight towards us. They were on the 9-yard line, and this looked like a touchdown. They threw it. Mike Evans caught it on about the 1, fought into the end zone. And then I just started going crazy in the end zone, cheering as loud as I could. I looked around, was celebrating with the people around me. And as I looked back down at the field, Mike Evans is gesturing to get my attention, sprinting at me. And he jumps up into the stands, hands me the ball. I get to slap his shoulder pads. Scream Big Mike, and then I got the ball.
Okay. At what point did you realize that he had handed you perhaps the most valuable football, rarest of footballs in the history of professional football? When did that dawn on you? Because it dawned on me right away that Mike Evans had just handed that ball to a fan, and you're that fan. When did it dawn on you that you had pass number 600 of Tom Brady's touchdown pass throwing career?
So it wasn't right away. Mike Evans and I were definitely on the same page. And I'm sure you've seen that video of him on the sidelines. And what? That was the ball? I
gave,
right.
gave the ball away, right? Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah, so we were on the same page. And then I had told the story a bunch of times, and I couldn't put my finger on when I realized that that was the 600th ball. But there were some Bears fans sitting next to me, and obviously everyone around me wanted to take pictures. But I kept putting the NFL logo in the front when this guy was taking pictures, and he kept turning the ball again. And I put the logo back in front, and he goes, no, I want the number at the bottom, the 138, to be showing in this picture, because that shows that this is Tom Brady's 600th touchdown. And I think that right then is when I realized that it was his,
wow.
his 600th touchdown.
Okay, so a Bears fan who had the sense and also a sense of wanting to, memorialize the fact that he was around such a special football is where it dawns on you that you are now in possession of it. What happened next, Byron?
Minutes later, someone from the team came over, a guy named Tim. I don't know if he's one of the trainers or if he works with Tom. I don't know exactly what his role is.
Right.
But he came over and was saying, can we get that ball back? This is an important one. And I told him no a couple of times.
Ah.
He said, we want it. I said, well, maybe if Tom personally comes over and asks for it, I'll hand it to him.
Uh-huh.
That obviously didn't happen. We kept kind of going back and forth, and he's basically saying, Tom Brady really wants this football back.
Mm-hmm.
We can get you signed jerseys, whatever you want. I'll get you another ball right now. And I said, all right, you know what? Okay, Tom Brady can have it. He's the only person who's ever thrown 600 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I haven't even watched 600 touchdowns be thrown, much less thrown them myself.
Right.
He deserves this ball. I'll give it back to him.
Okay. So that happens. And what is it? So when did you, have you received everything that has been reported to been given to you, like a signed jersey from Brady and a signed football from Tom, right?
No, I haven't received anything that I didn't get at the game so far. They immediately handed me a different game ball.
Okay.
Someone from their management came down and handed me a big gift card to the team store.
Mm-hmm.
But they took my address and phone number and name and all that stuff while I was at the game. And Monday afternoon, I got a call from the Bucks, and they said, we've been talking about you nonstop. This is what we're going to get you. It was the 2 signed Brady jerseys, 1 for me, 1 for my buddy.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of those negotiations y'all saw going on.
Okay.
I wanted to get him something because he was sitting next to
me. It's his ticket. You mean you're his plus one. You should get him at least a plus 12, right? Jersey. Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
So I'm getting those two, Tom Brady signed helmet, Mike Evans signed jersey, and Mike Evans signed cleats.
Okay.
And two season tickets for the rest of this season and next season. Okay. So that is what the Bucks decided to give me. I think they're getting ready to send it because I just received an official letter on their letterhead and all that
right.
stuff.
All right.
So they should be sending that over pretty soon, I imagine.
Okay. Where are the seats? Do you know where they are?
I don't yet. I asked him. He said, I don't exactly know, but I'm sure they're going to be pretty good. They're not going to put you up in the 300 section or anything like that.
We gotta get close to midfield, at least. I mean, we got to get somewhere near there. But I don't know if they've got those lying around. You know what I mean? Like, there's
exactly. Probably all taken off.
Those end zone seats were nice.
That's true. I mean, Riley's got two pretty good seats right there. All right. I got Byron Kennedy here on the Rich Eisen Show. He was the one who had and then relinquished the Tom Brady football. When did you learn that you had a Bitcoin coming from Tom? How did that come into your possession? Or has it not yet?
So, well, it hasn't yet. I've been talking with Tom Brady's management team, and okay. I'm filling out some forms because I think there's some tax implications I have to
okay.
have to worry about.
All right.
But I imagine it would come some point today. I learned about it because Tom Brady posted on his Instagram story saying, let's make a trade with that FTX company that he's a part of. And then he posted on his Twitter saying, hey, FTX, let's get this guy a Bitcoin. And they immediately replied, done and done, let's make a trade. So that was a couple hours before Monday Night Football. And then Tom Brady obviously told the nation about it when he mentioned it on Monday Night Football, too.
Huh. Okay. Now then, I guess this is the most important question. You're engaged to be married, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Your fiance's name is what?
Bridget.
Okay.
Reinmuller.
What does she think about you giving this stuff up for, you know, shirts and jerseys and hats and stuff like that? What does she think about this subject, man?
She thinks I did the right thing. Her parents think I did the right thing. Okay. They all think I made the right move.
Okay. Very good. All right. So all said and done, you're feeling good about all this, Byron?
I am. And I don't know if you had heard, but Mojo and Gronk also are chipping in and trying to help me out, too. They're giving me some – they're part of a Beyond Protocol, which
okay.
is another crypto, and they're giving me a good amount of that, too.
Okay. All right. Good things come to those who yeah. just cough it up. Brockman, you want to say something?
I know
you want to say something to
okay.
this guy earlier this week. Now he's right here. I've presented
right,
him.
Right, right.
Let's
hear it. Byron, all love. Knowing that your fiance is on board, your family is on board, and like Tom and Gronk are kind of hooking you up in the crypto game, which I am also a part of, I will stand down. I will stand down and congratulate you for what you did.
Well, thank you. I mean, at the time, there was no guarantee I was going to get anything. So I understand where y'all were coming from.
Okay.
It's all starting to work out.
Well, also, it seemed like it was such a whirlwind of how it happened. I can't imagine the emotions you were feeling. And then when it dawned on you that it was the ball, and then all of a sudden this guy is trying to convince you to just give it to him. So I'm sure that was a lot. And, you know, your head was probably a lot of foggy. But I think it all worked out in the end.
All right. So, Byron, here's what I'm going to do here. Because I'm a Michigan man like Tom Brady. I will give you either a Rich Eisen Show mug or $20 in our merchandise store, which is the cost of the mug. So it's up to you. What do you think, Byron?
I'm a big coffee drinker. I would love
Done.
To drink a cup of coffee with
a Rich Eisen
face mug. On it every morning.
All right. And plus, certainly, since if I'm not mistaken, you have just started internal medicine residency. Correct? In
Correct.
Central
yeah.
Florida there? Right?
Yeah, just in St. Pete in Tampa.
Okay. Morgan. So you're going to need a lot of late night, early morning jolts of the Java. So let me provide you with the mug. How's that sound?
That sounds fantastic.
Bless
I appreciate
you.
It.
Hey, Rich.
Well, yes,
before
sir.
You let him go, I was talking to Byron yesterday.
Yes.
He shared kind of the same thoughts we did about the gift card from the team shop, if you want to
okay.
ask him about
okay.
it.
Okay, yeah. We think we should get a little bit more than $1,000 from the Bucks, to be honest with you. You know? What's what we think? The team store. So.
I had a theory that that's probably the biggest gift card that they have. They need to have another one to give to me. Unless they just started handing me a bunch of gift cards.
I love it. Fantastic.
I feel like they probably gave me the biggest gift card that they have.
All right, Byron Kennedy. Thanks for the call, man. Congratulations on your 15 minutes of fame and doing the right thing with it. I thought you did the right thing, man. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
You bet. That's Byron Kennedy Byron. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
That was great. Seems like a great guy.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
All right, we will take a break. Your phone calls also still to come. Jeff Garlin from Curb Your Enthusiasm and brother from another's Michael Smith takes us to his show. That's how we're rolling here on The Rich Eisen Show.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
After missing 1 week with a COVID-19, he's back on the sideline, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Cliff Kingsbury tonight taking on the matching wits with Matt LaFleur. Two young buck third-year head coaches crushing it right now. 7-0 versus 6-1 right here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, so look.
Huge game.
Fiancé's fine. Happy future wife, happy life. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
He hasn't gotten everything yet. They're going to get it to him.
Right.
So he's going to get his tickets.
Tickets. What,
it kind of helps when are the Bucks back in back at home. They're back at home. It's going to be a while. It could take some time. Saints bye week at Washington football team. Next home game is New York Giants Monday night or November 22nd. So
yeah. There he is.
Oh, gosh. They got 3 weeks to sort this thing out.
Yeah, no big deal.
You know, what I thought was the dopest thing that he said he wanted to do. Now, you're going to appreciate this. He told me yesterday he wants to get a custom Buccaneers jersey from the team shop with the number 600 on it.
There you go. He's Mr. 600.
And I was
600.
Like, oh, dude, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
He's Mr. 600.
He'll be Mr. 600.
It's wonderful.
And I said, you'll be known throughout, you know, the history of the Bucks as Mr. 600.
Just wonderful.
That's pretty dope.
All of it's great. That's pretty dope. My podcast, Just Getting Started, this morning I interviewed for next week's show, Adam Schefter.
Oh.
So shortly before he found out the news that DeAndre Hopkins, barring any setbacks, is going to play tonight, he and I had a nice chat about the beginning of his career, and I already knew part of his story since, you know, it started at Michigan, and I was on the same Michigan Daily staff as him when he started his career. But at any rate, my guest this week is Amy Trask, the longtime front office executive for the Raiders, now of the Big Three, and also now of CBS Sports, and she talks football. So she's a voice of the NFL for a very long time. And great story right here about getting not only on the radar screen of Al Davis, which we established yesterday on yesterday's show when we played a soundbite for you, that she cold called the switchboard when she was in law school and said, I want to be part of the team. And she got a gig there as an intern and then worked her way up. And I asked her, when did she first really get to be viewed by Al Davis as executive material?
One of the biggest misconceptions about Al is that you couldn't disagree with him. Because if that were the case, I would have been fired roughly 2 weeks into my job. I was sitting in my office, the one I described across the hall from his, with a colleague. Oh. And Al came in and ripped into that person like I can only envision a velociraptor would have ripped into flesh. And he was really having at it. And after I listened for a bit of time, I said, excuse me, you're wrong. And Rich, you know I don't have a dainty voice under any circumstances, but I was also working to be heard over him, and he was pretty loud at the time. So I said, excuse me, you're wrong. And I will never forget the look on his face when his face turned to me. I mean, it was just, I'm like thinking of his face and the expression right now. And I said, he looked at me like, what? And I went on to say, look, if the data on which you were basing your conclusion was accurate, well, then that's a fair conclusion. But you are basing your analysis and you are basing your conclusion on inaccurate information, and you're wrong. And he screamed, and or let's say yelled, not screamed. He yelled, and I yelled, and he yelled, and I yelled. And I didn't know it till much later, but apparently everyone had gathered outside the office because they couldn't believe this person that had been there 2 weeks or so was having this argument with Al. And one woman actually brought boxes over because she figured out, you know, Amy's going to
get out of here. Come on. No way.
Oh, no. Dead serious. And then towards the end of the argument, you know, as the argument's, you know, going on and winding, he looked at me and he said, oh, I gotcha. Okay. And we moved on. And over the course of almost 30 years, I disagreed with him more than I agreed with him. So that is the biggest misconception about Al, that he wouldn't tolerate those who disagreed with him, that he wouldn't tolerate disagreement. But what I learned, you don't just disagree to be disagreeable. You come armed with information and you make your best argument. And then at the end of the day, I realized he was the owner of the business. I was not. So I could do all I could to change his mind. And if I didn't change his mind, it was my job to do the best I could with the decisions he made.
Great Amy Trask right there.
That's awesome.
And again, the stories that she tells, I think on tomorrow's show, we'll play the one where, if we can, we can, where she was in a meeting with Al in a deposition with a bunch of lawyers, and a lawyer from the other side suggested, like, it was time for lunch and that maybe Amy should go get everyone the sandwiches.
Oh, what?
And what Al Davis's response was.
Not pleasant, I'm sure.
But my favorite story that needs to be heard in this pod, where all podcasts are required, Cumulus Podcast Network, is when there was a Star Wars marketing campaign attached to the Oakland Raiders in the black hole.
Right. This is great.
And she asked Al to take a promotional photo with Darth Vader, and how that one went. There's a famous photo of Al with Darth Vader smiling, but prior to it, not so much. Not so much. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back, news updates on all the injuries. Many of you have Saquon Barkley in your fantasy leagues. Is he going to be ready to come back for Monday Night Football? That and so much more, along with Jeff Garland of Curb Your Enthusiasm and Michael Smith, a brother from another. Hour number three coming up.